Good morning, one and all, and welcome back to another episode of The Damage Report with me, John Arilla, and joining us today, Waz de la Bre. Waz, how's it going?
Fantastic, man. I'm happy to finally be back on with the family here at The Damage Report.
We're very happy to have you here, very happy to have you to lend your perspective on some interesting topics we're going to talk about, which my document is now loaded. So that's great news for me. I was like trying to load it in advance of this, and I was like, well, this is going to be an exciting impromptu ad-libbed show. But anyway, no, it's here. So we're going to have a lot to talk about, including Florida's new standards for teaching Black history, which has some interesting takes on slavery. We're going to talk about that. Charles Barkley decided to just get the whole right wing to utterly despise him. So that's going to be fun. Nina Turner attacked in a very racist fashion by the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. And I think we have to defend her here. And in just a moment, we're going to be starting off with Donald Trump's latest threats against the special counsel. Always a good call before legal proceedings begin. But in anticipation of all that, please hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already. And you can send us comments, tweets, super chats. We'll read some as we go. We also might give away a $100 Blue Apron gift card, which I technically can do and keep forgetting. So I'm going to try to remember that for today's program and give you all the food you deserve. So with that said, why don't we start this thing off with this?
Is it something that concerns you of you know, of the people making sure that they don't go out of their right mind if something like that happens? Because I know what I'm thinking of could happen if that, for example, they do say Jack Smith says, okay, I'm going to put Donald Trump in jail.
I think it's a very dangerous thing to even talk about.
Okay.
Because we do have a tremendously passionate group of voters. And I mean, maybe, you know, maybe 100, 150. I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
Much more passion than they had in 2020, and much more passion than they had in 2016. I think it would be very dangerous.
So you've probably seen at this point sort of like the money quote from that, which is it would be very dangerous if Jack Smith, if the DOJ were to like follow the law or whatever, that would be dangerous. But I don't think that headline really gets across how bad what that tape is in terms of how threatening it is. Donald Trump was like specifically asked about whether we should be afraid of what crazy people might do, which teed him up with an opportunity to tell them not to do anything. And he decided, no, I'm not gonna do that. Instead, I'm just gonna speak positively about people's passion, which was just described to me as a possible prelude to violence. I'm now gonna spin as a good thing. They're more passionate than they were in 2016. They're more passionate than they were in 2020 when they stormed the Capitol and people died. That's all a good thing. It's super dangerous. Let's move on to another topic, I guess. So yes, he did make threats against Jack Smith there, but the threats are so much worse than the headline version of this, I think, would lead you to believe. Waz, what do you think?
I honestly think he's kind of bluffing here. I think if he were really trying to use this as a tactic, he'd be telling Jack Smith and those folks behind closed doors, like, look, man, you don't want to do this. People might get hurt. I think he's going public with this as a way to maybe get the message out to people around Jack Smith, right? To be like, hey, man, Trump's going out and saying people are going to act crazy. You might want to reel this thing back. Or maybe people are above Jack Smith's head, who Trump hasn't been able to speak to about his case. Maybe he's trying to reach out to them, because this seems ridiculous. Like, he could get on the phone with Jack Smith and make this exact same threat. The idea that he's going public with it seems like a bluff, and it seems like he's desperate to get the word out there to anybody who might be listening. Please write on my behalf. Burn the country down when I lose legitimately for the second time in a row.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And I'm wondering right now.
But he is, but to be sure, he is making those appeals 100%.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's look, he does it in appearances on things like the Simon Conway show, which I've literally never heard of, but I have no doubt that like 20 million conservative Americans would literally storm another Capitol if whoever the hell the people are who host that told them to. It's a weird world we live in. And by the way, Trump is appearing on this. Weird little show. Anyway, that's not what's important. What I'm curious about is how worried do you think we should be? Because he does this every time there's an update. He says, they're gonna arrest me, someone do something. Or he like directly threatens, for instance, Alvin Bragg, you know, telling people that he's gonna be arrested, that people need to take our nation back. He'll post a photo of him with a baseball bat aimed at Alvin Bragg's head. Anytime there's a big development or there's charges, he does something like this. And I'm not going to say that that has not sometimes led to violence. Obviously it has, and sometimes the violence is a little bit more abstract. But in these last couple of cases, it thankfully doesn't seem to have resulted in what he wanted. Like, you know, when he had to turn himself in the last time and get his charges, you know, there was a small group in New York, there was a small group at Mar-a-Lago that organized, but it was not some sort of absolutely massive gathering. They did not, you know, storm DC or anything. So it doesn't mean that it won't happen the next time. And it only takes one crazy person with a, you know, an arsenal of weapons to do a lot of damage. But like, should we start to feel a little bit less bad about these threats the more times it's demonstrated that, although he obviously wants the violence, he can't necessarily get it?
Yeah, I think what ends up happening with Trump supporters is that they do a lot of peacocking. And so they're very loud, the people who really love him, or the people who we might assume would be willing to resort to violence in the case that he lost again fair and square. And I think that's why our antennae are sort of raised every time he says something like this, because in our mind's eye, we can see that deeply disturbed, annoying, but fairly marginal, you know, rabid Trump supporter, right? Like in my head, I think about these Trump supporters being the right wing equivalent of the, you know, the ladies that wore the vagina hats at the Women's March. Like, not everybody wore the vagina hats, but like, you know, but we noticed the people who did. There was a lot of people at the march, but some people were just more boisterous in their, you know, affectation than other people were. And I think Trump supporters make us feel a certain type of way, right? I just don't necessarily think that they have these huge numbers of people that are just gonna go out in droves, like we've seen, for instance, in 2020, after the George Floyd assassination, right? Like that was a legitimate popular uprising of a bunch of citizens spontaneously, you know, going out to the street en masse and demonstrating for something that they thought just wasn't right. I just don't see a Trump loss again driving that many of his supporters to the streets to do something stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think absent the coup, like I would have a much lower level. Like that is such a, that's, you know, the prototypical like mass movement of psychopaths. And there have of course been other incidents of violence. You know, there are people who shoot up Walmarts and send pipe bombs and stuff, who very clearly are being specifically motivated by Donald Trump with Cesar Sayoc and all that. And you know, of course, there are people who are willing to break into Nancy Pelosi's house and bludgeon her husband's skull in. Yeah, I want us to get through a few more years without anything on the level of a January 6th, and then I'll feel much more comfortable. I will say that I don't know what will come of the most recent threats that we just played for you. In past cases, some of the organizations that track sort of online chatter of threats have seen that there have been an amplification of those sorts of things after Trump posts things like this, including threats of doing like a January 6th times 10 plus guns. One person, very creative, said that they wanted to use dump trucks to drop a few tons of gravel on 6 bridges in hopes of making them unusable to cause a serious hit to food and economic deliveries in and out of New York. Because like, you can't put them on trial if you ain't got food. And I think that that's really creative. I mean, I think first of all, these people definitely have the resources to get all that gravel, and you couldn't like, you know, easily clear that in an afternoon. And you know, there's no food in New York to subsist on, and no other way to get food to New York than crossing the bridges. So it is a big threat, and I am worried about it. It's very much Bane stuff, and we're without a Batman. Anyway, we're gonna move on to other news. I just wanted to put that out there. Hopefully nothing will come of it, but he certainly hopes that something will. Okay, let's jump now to this. House Republicans are continuing their crusade against the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, saying that he has committed a dereliction of duty, which is not just a term that you throw around. It means something specific. That something specific just has nothing to do with secretaries of, you know, cabinet departments, but they're still using the term. And to be very clear, they have a long list of issues with him. They're saying that he is not enforcing laws at the border. We basically have an open border, and that's why so many people are crossing at record levels. Now, the issue with that is that that's not true. So we now know monthly illegal border crossings dropped to the lowest level in 2 years last month, falling to under 100,000 for the first time in that time period, according to government data released Tuesday. You can actually see the chart here. Yeah, that's a big drop, and that goes back multiple years. The thing is, you can be mad about what's going on at the border, you know, either honestly or because it's performative, because you're a Republican. But like, if much less than half as many people are crossing the border as were a couple of months ago, and you don't act like 5% happier about that, then I start to really question whether you mean literally anything you say about what's going on at the border. When you're still saying that he should be literally impeached for a dereliction of duty, when they have drastically cut the number of people that are crossing the border illegally, which is what you say you want, then I question whether that's actually the goal. Waz, what do you make of this?
I mean, you know, people on that side of the quote unquote argument not having an intellectually honest discussion about what angers them. The bottom line is, John, they just will never see a Democratic Party presidency as legitimate. So it doesn't matter what Joe Biden does. And trust me, I've got plenty of critiques for the Biden administration, right? I think they've kind of stuck up the joint on a myriad of things that I happen to care about quite deeply. But you know, it's just a. But that being said, if they went out and wiped out everybody's student debt, you know, permanently, forever, tomorrow, or you know, they went out and increased the amount that we pay out to seniors for Social Security, and they went out and did Medicare for all. If they went out and did all of these things that I love, I wouldn't turn around and say, but I still hate Joe Biden. Like, I would be like, oh, okay, they did the things that I care about. I'm gonna give them props for it. Or, by the way, if Donald Trump or some Republican did all of those same things that I just mentioned, I wouldn't pretend that they didn't happen just because a Republican did it. But these folks showed a long, long, long time ago how disingenuous they are about their critiques, that it doesn't matter what a Democratic president or Congress does. They're going to be against it and put their head in the sand, even when it's stuff that they want.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. Have you considered the possibility that because that is how you evaluate, you know, what's being done in the government and what you think about the government, that you're a weirdo? Have you considered that possibility? Because not a lot of people actually act like that. Like, you know, like people who are like Republicans or really right wing, there's literally, I'm going to demonstrate another thing. There's in that it, no matter how good things get, you cannot give any credit whatsoever. And maybe there's some people who, you know, like are progressives, but like really, really hate Biden that also might not be willing to give him credit or whatever. We're in this weird, and there's Democrats, of course, that don't care what happens. They're gonna love Biden or Buttigieg or Kamala Harris or whoever it is. Whereas we're in this weird position, and it's what makes it weird, like the people watching this, that you'd be watching this at all, where we just think you should like see what happens and update your thoughts accordingly. So, you know.
Well, John, not to like cut you off, and we've seen this happen multiple times, right? I think the most notorious example recently was Kamala Harris with the vaccines, where she was like, well, a Trump vaccine, I would never touch. I wouldn't even think about taking that kind of thing. This is a rush product, blah, blah, blah. Like she said that on record.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
This is in the record, the public record. And then, of course, inevitably, she becomes vice president on Joe Biden's ticket, and these vaccines come out, and she completely reverses course, right? Yeah. Like, so people have seen, you know, our politicians do this too and just play politics with everything, you know. 100%. And I think people follow that lead, unfortunately.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not saying that like every single change should affect everyone equally. The first one that we're starting off with, like the illegal border crossings, I'm specifically bringing this up to appeal to right wingers.
Yeah.
That's not like top of my list of like, oh, we got, I got the numbers down. That's not the thing that like appeals to me. I am trying to like extend an olive branch to them. I understand you guys are highly xenophobic. This seems like a thing that's really important to you. Why are you not happier?
But John, by the way, we know this to be true, right? Mitch McConnell, he is the king of this. He opposes the infrastructure bill at every turn. Does everything he can to sabotage this thing. The second that it passes, he goes to his constituents in Kentucky and is like, yeah, we got you money for a bunch of stuff. It's gonna be great. He did not vote for this. He tried to kill it. Yeah. He tried to kill it in the cradle, and he goes out to Kentucky and he says, isn't it great all the stuff I got for you guys? It's incredible what these people do.
Yeah. All this stuff that I tried as hard as I could to stop you from getting, but oh well, it failed. Now you got it. Yeah, by the way, similarly for when the inflation numbers came out, great progress on fighting inflation. None of them are happy for that. Why is that? Here's another one. And this one, I think we can all agree that this is good news. I don't think you can spin this as bad for anyone. Do you know that the murder rate has been falling drastically for 2 years? So it went up. You know, there was the pandemic and there was a lot of chaos and all that. So it had gone up. And that was like the dominant story for a couple months in the presidential race in 2020. Well, it has dropped almost all the way back down. Just this year, murders have fallen more than 12% in major cities. After having fallen slightly last year as well. The murder rate is still about 10% higher than it was back in 2019. But the trend is going in the right direction for literally months. And if the murder rate going up is a national news crisis for literally months, then obviously the murder rate going back down would also be huge news. Except that it's not, as Media Matters has well documented. It's mostly being ignored by the media. Just 17 mentions across all of cable news, and they're even including Newsmax as being cable news there for the declining homicide rate. Fox mentioned it 3 times. They mentioned the rise thousands of times. So is it any wonder that we are as tribal and partisan a country as we are when you only get bad news or good news, I guess, if it's coming from your side, but you never get a real picture of some things getting better, some things getting worse, what rate they're changing, and then deriving from reality an idea of what you think about the government, which seems like the only rational way to live, but virtually incompatible with the modern media, you know, makeup that we have. Any final thoughts, Waz?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad how this news sort of makes its way to our citizens. That kind of sucks. But I think another part of it, John, even if you did somehow get some heavy hitters to talk about the drop in crime and how we're inching back towards pre-pandemic levels of the most violent types of crimes, we wouldn't get any analysis as to why this would have happened, as to what the differences are, as to what we should be doing to keep it going in that direction, what we know about what works and what doesn't. We wouldn't get any of that anyway, right? It would just be people just regurgitating stats and no actual analysis about how our society is actually going.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's disappointing. It doesn't serve, you know, regular people. It obviously serves someone, or they wouldn't still be doing it, but not regular people. Now that said, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, there was a lot more dong in Congress yesterday than there typically is. We're gonna try to figure out why after this. Okay, everyone, if you're just joining us now, please hit the like button. And if you are just starting to pay attention to what's going on in American politics, perhaps you were in a coma for a decade and you want to get an idea of the level of political discourse and the standards we have for our elected officials, we're going to describe those in this segment. Now, we're going to be starting off with somewhat good, but it's only about the most nonsensical thing that I think has ever been discussed in a congressional hearing. But we'll start off with this.
If the gentlelady from Georgia wanted to follow evidence, we should also take a look at hypothetically a case where sex trafficking charges against a 17-year-old girl potentially.
The gentlelady's time's expired.
That is AOC throwing fire in multiple directions. So directly, she's critiquing Marjorie Greene, the gentle lady from Georgia, who had just finished showing, I guess technically revenge porn of Hunter Biden live on TV in a congressional hearing where kids could be watching. But at the same time, and we will return to that, she's also like burning, and it's not too subtle, Matt Gaetz right there, bringing up the investigation that had been made into him for alleged human trafficking as well. By the way, I don't know if you saw this last week, but the House Ethics Committee has resumed reaching out to witnesses in that probe. Now, that is not the same thing as like the investigation beginning again. The DOJ has apparently decided they're not gonna bring charges against him, which I will also point out is not the same thing as him being innocent. But the House Ethics Committee is saying that they're not bound by what the DOJ does, and they are going to be examining the same allegations they were looking into when they opened the investigation back in 2021. So, you know, if you wanna throw around accusations of human trafficking, in this case, it's someone who's actually in government, which seems relevant. Anyway, look, if this entire thing is hard to follow, it probably should be. We're not gonna show you all of what Marjorie Greene had to say or show, but here's just a little bit.
To a foreign-based amateur online pornography platform. This is evidence of Hunter Biden making sex. Excuse me, this is my time. Making pornography.
Should we be displaying this, Mr. Chairman?
So it was blurred out there, but that was just full-on nude photos of Hunter Biden, a woman, literally photos of them having sex. Now, I'm going to just briefly move beyond my level of expertise on the law. It is possible that that is not in any way illegal, but shouldn't it be? Like, and maybe it is. Is that a reasonable question? Like, if I were to just get one of your laptops and find nude photos and just hold them up to like the house, is that legal? I feel like someone should be looking into this. For now though, you might wonder, why is she talking about this? I think a lot of people are wondering that. It's not really clear. It's not really clear why him making a sex tape is a crime, or even if it were a crime, why that's something that the House should be concerned with. Hunter Biden, I will remind Marjorie Greene once again, is not an elected official. He's not an appointed official. He serves no role in government whatsoever. He is a private citizen with troubles, certainly, you know, struggles with drugs and all of that, deserving perhaps of empathy. And if he broke the law in any of these cases, feel free to be specific about what law he apparently broke. But she was just seemingly so affected by these nude photos that she saw that she felt like she had to show them to the class, and the class is the entire country. What do you think, Waz?
I'm at a loss for words, honestly. This is just, it's just a naked attempt, if you could pardon the pun, to try to embarrass the president. That's it. This is his son. This is the president's son. He bears his name, and he's done amateur porn in the past, and here's the proof of it. She's essentially trying to shame the Bidens publicly by airing this guy's dirty laundry. That's it. It's an obvious attempt to do that. And for me, the most disturbing part, John, was that she had her glasses like your fifth grade teacher sort of on her nose as she was checking it out. I was just like, Jesus, she's really getting in there.
Yeah, like she made the images, she printed them out. Why is she staring at them right then? Why is she gesturing to particular parts? Like, she is clearly enjoying this so much. And I'm sure that the right is too. Lots of them are like, yeah, you got Joe Biden. How? I don't know. I guess it's embarrassing. And obviously, you know, our side has never done anything embarrassing. The Trump kids have never done anything embarrassing or whatever. Look, this, as I alluded to in the intro, I think is not good for America that this is the level of standards for Republican elected officials. AOC touched on that topic.
Today also marked a new low when pornographic images were paraded in this hearing room. Chairman Comer, last October, you told Time magazine that you were not interested in the sordid details of Hunter Biden's life. You were quoted as saying, quote, that's counter to a credible investigation, and I agree. Sadly, that is a reflection of how low some individuals here have been willing to go in their efforts to attack the president and his family. And frankly, I don't care who you are in this country. No one deserves that. It is abuse. It is abusive.
Now, contrast that statement from a congresswoman with this.
This is shocking. And this is actually the evidence that I believe the American people deserve to see. Because when the American people can see this evidence, as uncomfortable as it was for me to show it on the Oversight Committee today, I believe that's how they can hold this government accountable.
She has no idea what words are coming out of it. What are you talking about? If they have this evidence of Hunter's hog, then they can hold the government accountable. He's not in the government. How do his balls have anything to do with any of this? Like, I think this is clear to thinking people, but I also, very briefly, Waz, and I'll let you jump in. I think that the fact that this is Hunter makes it more difficult for people to really understand what's happening here and to have the appropriate reaction, because it's Hunter and everything has been so ridiculous and spicy and all that. So here is like a direct parallel. If 3 years ago or 4 years ago, Katie Porter had gone on the House floor and she had printed out photos, nude photos, of Ivanka Trump having sex with some guy that she had flown across the country or whatever, and then just said, see, Ivanka Trump, who is naked and having sex in this photo, human trafficked someone. So she probably broke the man act or whatever. I'm not gonna demonstrate how that is. I'm just gonna say that it must be prostitution, because I don't think that two people can consensually have sex. That is exactly what is being done here. It is non-consensual displaying of nude photographs. And look, there's obviously the component of she pretends that she's worried about kids being exposed to this stuff. Literally, kids could be seeing this stuff. Apparently, one of her emails included these photos. A kid could be getting those too, or seeing them on a screen. She doesn't care about that, or the fact that this has got to be breaking some sorts of laws of breaking, you know, people's private. You can't just show nude photos in public of people. But anyway, that I think is necessary to understand the severity of this. But Waz, what are your final thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to expect anything more from the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think as young of a Congress member, as junior of a Congress member as she is, I think she's kind of demonstrated the fabric of her character. And she's not a very quality person. That's just been what she's demonstrated throughout her tenure in Congress. So to expect anything else would be sort of ludicrous. And yeah, man, it's one of those things where I'm glad, like obviously we were able to blur it out. I think in my job in the NBA, actually through the years, I can think of like three times off the top of my head where NBA players' dongs became public. One of which was a guy, John, mistakenly, he was sending his junk on Snapchat. I guess he was sending it to a woman, and he just put it on his public freaking timeline, and everybody saw the freaking guy's junk. Like, that was a thing that happened in the NBA. And thankfully, I was able to avoid Hunter Biden's junk. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, this is kind of par for the course for her, man. This is what she does, and her constituents don't seem to mind it. And neither do her colleagues, obviously. I think you and I remember a time in Congress, even when Newt Gingrich was kind of running things for the Republicans, where there was like at least some level of decorum, even while they were chasing, you know, Bill Clinton's penis around the Beltway. Yeah. This is just a whole new level, or low, if you will.
I hope again that it's the bottom of the barrel, but I fear deep down that it's not.
They all scrape more.
They'll keep scraping. They'll keep digging. Okay, we're gonna move on to another topic. Let's jump into this. I would have loved today to just ignore the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire altogether. I think most people like to do that, but today we can't, unfortunately, because they've launched a racist attack against one Senator Nina Turner. You see, Nina posted something on Twitter, which admittedly was her first mistake. Don't do that. Don't post on Twitter. It's the worst. But what she posted was not the worst. It was simple. Insulin should be free. Medicine should be free. So obviously this enraged a bunch of people because you can't just have a rational take on Twitter. So they responded, Nina Turner picking crops should be free. Dear God. And obviously a lot of people saw that. Are you surprised to find out that the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire pays Elon Musk $8 a month? So they were algorithmically boosted. And there's no hate speech on Twitter. I read that in an article once. But anyway, they decided that a prominent outspoken black woman in politics should be compared to a slave because she thinks that our healthcare system is fundamentally unjust. So they went on to say, insulin should be free is equally offensive as calling for someone to be compelled to pick crops. They are the same moral statement and we should react to them with identical moral abhorrence. I'm not gonna do that. I think I'm gonna have different levels. She responded saying, since libertarians is trending because they decided to be racist over free insulin, it's a great time to talk about how a vial of insulin costs $98 in the US and just $10 to produce. Big pharma should not be profiting off life-saving medicine. It should be free. I love, by the way, that despite the fact that she is being viciously attacked in a racist fashion, she stayed on the substance and advocated for people's interests, even in light of these attacks. Now, she did point out that they're racist and that this act is anti-black, period. In no way is advocating for free insulin compared to chattel slavery. But they go on to say, you shouldn't pick crops for free because you're black. You should pick crops as reparations for the rights you violated as a politician. That is their defense against accusations that what they did was racist. They said that you're racist. So your defense is you violated rights. So now you need to pick crops as, and they decided to go with the word reparations, you know, to just really distance themselves from the whole race thing. And then just implied that that's not a racist thing to say. They could have picked any job she needs to do for free. They chose picking crops. Waz, what do you think? Are we being unfair to them?
No, I think we're being unfair to ourselves whenever we actually engage with people who self-describe themselves as libertarians. And I say that because John is like people on the left, like, or even if we want to call ourselves leftist as just, you know, extremely anti-capital, anti-big business, anti-major power leaning people, right? Sometimes you'll go to a party and your beliefs will come up and you may not get laughed out of the room, but people will be like, God, I mean, Jesus, dude, like get a grip, right? Like you might get those, that sort of condescension at a party. Nobody hears libertarians talk about their actual belief and not think, oh my God, I never want to talk to this person again. Get this person out of my life. These are the worst people literally in the political discourse that we have. I'm talking about worse than right wingers, worse than everybody are these libertarian hacks who think that they themselves, yeah, in America, you do it yourself. And I do everything by myself. I erect bridges. I do everything by myself. I teach myself. Like everything is me. It's just these people are absurd. And the idea that they're doing this on Twitter, you know, nameless, faceless behind some party account. It's not a guy who's using his own personal account to be like, yo, Nina Turner, go pick some cotton. He wouldn't dare. Like these people are weak.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, I don't think we should be giving these fools this much oxygen. They're clowns.
Yeah, and you would think that, I don't know, if I were them, I would probably want to stay out of this when the issue at hand is the fact that having no regulations whatsoever on this allows the price of this particular medicine to be absolutely jacked up out of anyone's sense of what makes any sense whatsoever, that results in people dying and you can just go across the border to another country and it's a much more reasonable price. This is a demonstration of why regulation is so important and literally is life and death stakes, but they still decided to jump in. By the way,
John, on the substance of it, I don't think Nina Turner was saying that no money should be exchanged in the procurement of insulin. What she was saying is that people who need it should not be coming out of pocket for it. That's just obviously true.
Yeah, they're still gonna be paid. Yeah. It's not that we just bust down the door and steal the insulin. Right. We just require that they manufacture it in the same way for the same price as it's done in every other country in the world. And it will be paid for probably through a single payer healthcare system that many other countries have been able to manage quite well. Acting as if she's saying we're just gonna rob them of it. No, obviously not. Anyway, very briefly before we end this section. In January 2022, that same Libertarian Party of New Hampshire said, America isn't in debt to black people. If anything, it's the other way around. Dear God. They also said a few months earlier, racism is pretty much a non-issue in America. Libertarians suffer more oppression than black people. And I do think that if anyone is going to declare that racism is no longer an issue in America, it should be white libertarians from New Hampshire. I think we can all agree on that. Anyway, we're gonna take our second break of the hour, but when we come back, we got a lot more to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Okay, everybody, let's jump back into the news. The Board of Education of Florida approved new standards for covering how black history will be taught in schools. And already I imagine there's a shiver running up your spine. You're wise to feel that because it's controversial is the word that's being used. We could probably come up with some other ones, and perhaps we will. The updated standards say students should learn that enslaved people, quote, developed skills, you know, like on Masterclass, that, quote, could be applied for their personal benefit. They can't leave. They can't get another job. They're slaves. If they try to leave, they will be beaten. Possibly killed. Dear God. And we need to tell the State Board of Education these basic things. Anyway, it goes beyond that. They also say that in teaching about mob violence against black residents, instructors should note, quote, acts of violence perpetrated against and by African Americans. Which, like, on some level, perhaps makes sense. If you're teaching history, you want to teach the full breadth of history. You know, there were slave rebellions, by the way, that I think should be taught. I personally think they should be taught because it's a demonstration of how horrendous things were that there needed to be literal rebellions. But that obviously is not the intent here. The intent is to both sides' violence against slaves. Literal slavery, mass rape, death, families being broken up is now going to be both sides as, oh yeah, one time a slave master was killed and I'm supposed to expend empathy for that. Anyway, it goes on to say that elementary school children should, quote, recognize Rosa Parks and Thomas Jefferson as individuals who represent the United States. Sure, on some level, I suppose, although I would throw in the fact that one of them was an owner of slaves, but the fear amongst many educators is that this is designed to take the full breadth of history and reduce it to, hey, there's a person. And that is not fundamentally what history is about. The significance of the people and what they did, the good and the bad, that is what history is about. Or at least that is what history was about and will continue to be outside of Florida. Waz, what do you think?
As unconscionable as these attempts are to sort of dumb down our public by way of our children who are the future, I think ultimately this attempt would be futile. It's obviously written up by people who don't really have a firm grasp of our country's history and are just worried about you know, their sensitive fifis ever being offended at any point, right? Like, just the idea that a white person might ever feel like in the past there were white people who existed who did things that were not great. Like, this is just a ridiculous level of sensitivity that I don't understand. But I think the best teachers, quality teachers, like, yeah, okay, yes, we will talk about slave violence against their masters. Like, yes, who the hell else were they committing violence against, right? Like, it's not as if they got to commit violence against, you know, everyday freed citizens. That was punishable by death. You know, like this idea that slaves were going out and doing it. And again, if we do an actual accounting of all of the ravages of the institution of slavery, any kid, I don't care how old they are, they're gonna look at that ledger and be like, yeah, the enslavement part is the messed up part here. All of these provisions they want to add in, it's not going to put, you know, it's literally lipstick on a pig, essentially. Like, it's not going to make slavery look better. There's no way, if you actually take a real accounting of the truths of this institution, there's no way to make it look anything less than horrible.
Yeah. Well, they're going to try, Waz. It seems ridiculous. I don't see how it could possibly be successful.
Good luck.
Look, the issue is, you know, for a lot of people, I think that school is the best chance for them to learn it. There's no reason why it should be the only place that you learn things, like, you know, but the world is what it is. And, you know, we can't hope that they watch a good documentary or an HBO series with an accurate depiction of racial violence. Like, I don't know, they're hoping in Florida that this will defang, you know, a proper accounting of what really happened. It would seem like slavery of all things doesn't need to be both sides, but I'm not even 100% sure exactly what their position is. So you have conservatives in Florida that are like, hey, but did you know that slavery wasn't actually that bad? Meanwhile, the libertarians in New Hampshire are like, it is literally the same as slavery if I can't charge $1,000 for insulin. Oh, wait, so is it literally the slavery that's not actually so bad? Which slavery is it literally? I'm confused. But anyway. Yeah,
and I do think, John, to be honest, it's not as if I think about what I learned about slavery in elementary, middle, and high school. It's not as if I got some detailed accounting of the institution. That's not even what happened. So, you know, honestly, I don't feel too bad that they're trying to do this. Because again, it's not as if kids, especially in my generation, were coming out of school and having a very deep understanding about how, you know, exploitation works and how racism and discrimination work in concert with that exploitation for actual money. I think that's the thing that gets lost in this. It's like they did slavery for money. Right. Yeah. Like the reason why they did it was to get paid. I don't know that was actually even taught to us in school, where it's just like, here's this thing that gets us really rich. Here's this other thing, racism, that justifies it. Right.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing that we do throughout every single generation. Like the way that we explain poverty in America, both black, white, Latino, Asian, whatever. Oh, those people. They don't deserve to live great lives with dignity like the rest of us. They're lazy, they're stupid, they're indigent, it's their culture, blah, 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 blah. Like, we see these ideas get reinforced where, you know, we have a very exploitative system and then we have this thing that justifies it. We weren't even taught it that way in high school and middle school. It's almost as if slavery just appeared and racism just appeared as this magical thing, and it didn't have this actual utility of enriching some people. Like, people got very rich off of all of this free labor.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm just like, look, man, if these people want to give them a watered down version of the hogwash they're giving us anyway, it's hard for me to get too riled up, you know?
100%. No, I'm glad that you focused on that. Yeah, that this was not like, it wasn't like the slave masters desperately needed this help so they could survive the coming winter. Yeah, they wanted to have more money. And by the way, doing any of these acts is utterly evil in any context, but like, you guys did it for money in a time when, and look, this is gonna be the dumbest critique of, you know, slave masters ever. Like, what, so you could have like a better effing candle or whatever, like a different horse? There wasn't even good stuff to buy, and you were so, God, I will never understand the rich. I will never understand why they feel they need to have that much money. You guys didn't have zippers, I don't think, back then. What were you accruing all of this wealth for? Anyway, we're gonna move on to our next topic because I think we're running low on time. I would love to get to people responding to that. Perhaps we'll use it in the future. But for now, we do need to move to one, Charles Barkley. Let's jump into this.
I got three kisses of Bud Light. Hey, and I wanna say this. If you're gay, bless you. If you're transgender, bless you.
Uh, Charles Barkley not pulling any punches there. He was on stage at a bar encouraging people obviously to drink Bud Light and showing support for people who are, you know, currently being attacked legislatively in virtually every state in the country. So that's good. That's good. That's just his opinion. He's a public figure with a following. He can say what he wants. Or can he? Because it turns out that that political position that he is holding is incorrect from the point of view of the right. And because he holds a politically incorrect position, he needs to be destroyed, possibly canceled, something they pretend that they're against until Charles Barkley says a thing. And then suddenly they start to attack him, as you can see in this clip.
The NBA season's over. So what's Charles Barkley up to?
I'm going to buy some drinks for y'all.
What happened to Sir Charles? The minute he signs with CNN, he turns into Don Lemon?
Oh, I get it. Don Lemon, who doesn't work there, but I guess he's the only other black person you can think of. So obviously, Charles Barkley instantly becomes Don Lemon. What do you think?
I think Jesse Waters was trying to call Charles Barkley gay right there, which is just
oh my God,
ridiculous.
You're right. But I focus on the racism, but you're probably right.
Yeah, but I will say this, Charles Barkley is one of the greatest broadcasters of my lifetime. And, you know, obviously, full disclosure, I don't really have similar politics to Charles, right? He's like a fairly conservative dude, honestly, in the grand scheme of things. When it comes to people with politics like me and John, like, Charles Barkley is to the right of us by quite a distance, but what makes him such a great broadcaster is his, you know, the effectiveness of his communication is just like, yo, man, like if you're trans, if you're gay, you have a right to live a life of dignity and respect and joy just like everybody else. And I got love for you. Like, I mean, and if you don't, then, you know, you can screw off. Like, that is just such a beautifully succinct and direct message. And it's what makes Chuck so effective at what he does and why he's so popular and why his Q rating will always be on the left and the right 20 million times higher than that empty suit with a haircut, Jesse Waters.
100%. It, of course, was not only Jesse Waters that had a problem with him. Mark Levin said, Charles Barkley can go to hell. Let him drink all the Bud Light he wants. But hold up, let's pause there. Just let him. Like, you're saying that. But do you mean what you're saying? Yeah, he can drink Bud Light and you guys cannot. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? He goes on to say, I used to like this guy, not anymore. So they were saying that Charles Barkley was triggered by the boycotts. You guys have utterly changed your position on a sports figure because you don't like what he had to say about a beer. Is he the one being triggered? Is he the one doing a cancel culture? You guys seem like you want to cancel him because he said one thing that you considered politically incorrect. Again, is it the left that has a problem? It doesn't seem like it. Now it goes beyond, it cannot just be that he has a position I don't like, so screw him. There has to be dark forces in the background. Blaze TV podcast host Jason Whitlock suggested that somebody has told celebrities like Barkley to support LGBTQ rights to succeed. On his show, he reiterated the conspiracy theory, but added this, the Rothschilds, whoever's in control of the Federal Reserve, those people are paying influencers to promote their message. He specifically, the guy Royce White, who was on with him, said that a cabal was behind it. Are you getting it, everyone? Are you getting the anti-Semitic dog whistles, or do they need to amp them up a little bit more for you? Can Charles Barkley just come up with his own thought? Like, I feel like he can do that.
By the way, your point is the best one, John. Just let the guy drink Bud Light. It's literally the founders wrote this in the Constitution, inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of horrible American beer. It's in there. The founders, the framers put it in there specifically for these moments, John.
Yeah, I will say I drink Bud Light because it's fine. It's fine and it's not very expensive. It didn't used to be a political thing to drink Bud Light. Am I going to say that I don't get a special kick out of buying and drinking Bud Light? Kind of, I can be petty too. But they're the ones who made it political, I will remind you. all Bud Light did was send a promotional six pack of beer to someone who hadn't done anything wrong beyond merely existing amongst all of the different campaigns and ads they do. That's all they did. You guys made it a whole other political thing because you considered them to be politically incorrect. That's all the time we have for the first hour. Much more to come in the aftermath. We'll be back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.